William's day off.
They're slum children from London, said Ginger. They've come for 4 days. They've never seen a cow or anything like that.
Well, there's not much to see in a cow, said William. You can't have any fun with a cow. I've tried.
Where did you say they were coming? To Eastbrook Farm. Mrs. Camp's having them. They're sent by some sort of society what pays for slum children to come into the country because of the war.
Well, I vote we take 'em round a bit and show 'em woods and cows and things, said William.
Miss Milton's sister's having 'em to tea this afternoon, put in Henry. I heard my mother say so this morning.
Corks, said William, aghast. Fancy them having to waste an afternoon going to her. Miss Milton had lent her cottage to her sister for the summer, and though William had not yet met the lady, he had received the discouraging news that she was almost an exact replica of her sister. Next morning, the outlaws went over to Eastbrook Farm. They found 2 boys standing by the farm gate wearing grey shorts and grey jerseys. They looked very clean and very bored. The newcomers, it turned out, were called Bert and Sid. They were 10 and 11 years old. No, they didn't think much of the country so far. A goat had butted them and a gander had chased them. They were obviously disillusioned and homesick.
You come along with us, suggested William, and we'll show you some of our places.
Don't bide if we do,
agreed Bert cautiously. Bert was the older. He had a slight cast in one eye that lent him a somewhat sardonic aspect and a more than slight suggestion of adenoids. Sid was small and gingery and obviously ready to follow Bert's lead unquestioningly.
Don't mind if we do, Sid repeated.
They accompanied the outlaws to the old barn, and any hostility soon melted in the warmth of the outlaws' friendliness. 2 hours later, the 6 returned to the farm, firm friends.
Tell you what we'll do this afternoon, said William. We'll go over to Marley. There's some caves there, and we can play smugglers.
Cool, said Bert regretfully. I don't half wish we could, but we can't. We've got to go to tea somewhere this afternoon.
And Miss Milton or something,
supplemented Sid. You'll have a jolly dull time there, William prophesied. She's awful.
She won't even give you a decent tea if she's anything like her sister, said Ginger.
She's worse than her sister, said Douglas gloomily. I've seen her.
Yes, but Mrs. Camp will make us go, I expect, said Bert.
All eyes turned to William. I say, he began, suppose 2 of us pretend to be Bert and Sid and go to tea to old Miss Milton's instead of them. It doesn't much matter for us, because we can go to Marley Caves any day, but they've only got 4 days, and it might rain on the others.
She's seen me, said Ginger.
And me,
said Henry and Douglas.
But she's not seen me, said William.
Tell you what, I'll say I'm Bert, and that Sid's got a cold or something, and then you can all go off to Marley Caves, and I'll go and have tea with her, and she'll never know it's not you.
Coo, said Bert. That's jolly decent of you.
Not half,
agreed Sid. Are you sure she's not seen you, said Ginger. Of course I'm sure, said William. And anyway, I'll make myself look different, same as actors and detectives do. Right then, we'll all meet at the old barn, and you and me will change clothes, Bert, and you can go to Marley Caves.
Good egg,
cried Bert and Sid simultaneously. William walked purposefully towards Miss Milton's house, intent upon the manipulation of his face. He was representing Bert's slight cast by his best squint. Bert's suggestion of adenoids he represented by opening his mouth loosely to the size of a ping-pong ball. In order further to disguise himself, he had damped his hair and brushed it into a straight fringe, and was walking with a curious, stooping, shambling gait, letting his hands dangle about his knees. Miss Milton blenched slightly as she opened the front door.
"Please, bub," began William in a deep, throaty voice. "Please, bub, I'm Bert, and Sid couldn't come. He's got a bad cold."
He opened his eyes to their utmost capacity and fixed them on the end of his nose. He was finding his squint useful. It saved him from the necessity of meeting Miss Milton's eye.
"I'm sorry to hear that," said Miss Milton, conscientiously trying to overcome the distaste that his appearance inspired in her. "Come in, dear boy. Wipe your feet well on the mat."
William followed her into the drawing-room and sat down on a small chair by the window. Miss Milton looked at him, blinked, looked away, then, summoning all her courage, looked at him again.
"Are you enjoying your holiday in the country?" she said.
"Yes, bub," said William.
"I suppose you've never been in the country before, have you?"
"No, bub."
"It must be a delightful experience for you."
"Yes, bub."
"I hope you realise that you're a very lucky boy."
"Yes, bub."
Miss Milton tried to think of something else to say, but failed.
Perhaps, she said at last, you'd like to come out and see my sister's garden, would you?
Yes, bub, said William.
He followed her out into the little garden. Don't go on the grass, said Miss Milton. There's plenty of room for you to walk on the path. William was tired of saying, yes, mum. He was artist enough to want to make more of his part than that.
Grass, bub,
he said in his deep, throaty voice.
What's grass?
Miss Milton was taken aback. Surely even slum children knew what grass was. But evidently they didn't, so she hastened to explain. Well, that's grass, she said, pointing to her sister's sparse little lawn. It's, well, it's just grass. William began to feel that a certain amount of enjoyment might, after all, be extracted from the situation. He pointed over the hedge to a cow in the next field.
What's that?
Well, that's a cow.
What's a cow?
Miss Milton sighed. But of course it was quite natural that a slum child should never have seen a cow. It's just a cow, dear. A cow is... well, it's a cow. Miss Milton's cat sauntered out of the kitchen door and eyed William sardonically.
What's that?
He said. A cat, of course, said Miss Milton rather sharply. Surely you've seen cats at home. William realised that he was rather overdoing his town-bred ignorance.
It's bigger than town cats,
he said hastily. The cat, who had recognised William, winked at him and went indoors again. William thought wistfully of Marley Caves and wished that he was there with the others.
And now, dear, it's time we went into tea.
William resisted the temptation to say,
what's tea?
And followed her into the dining room. It was, as Ginger had prophesied, a rotten tea. William soon emptied the plates, but Miss Milton did not have them refilled. She looked at him.
I suppose you've seen an oculist about your, squint?
Yes,
said William, hastily doing it again.
It comes on worse when I'm hungry.
But you've just had your tea,
said Miss Milton. William made no comment on this.
Well, just stay here a moment, went on Miss Milton. I'll try and get a little companion of your own age. You'd like that, wouldn't you?
William grunted non-committally, and she went into the hall. He followed her to the door to listen. She was telephoning to Mrs. Lane. 2 minutes later, William saw his sworn enemy, Hubert Lane, entering the garden gate. Escape was impossible. He sat there, intensifying his squint and opening his mouth to the size of a cricket ball. Miss Milton went to the door and returned, followed by Hubert. Hubert looked at William, and recognition leapt into his eyes, then died away again. The boy had looked like William Brown at first sight, but on further inspection he obviously wasn't. His clothes were different. His mouth was different. His eyes were different.
This is Bert, Miss Milton introduced him. And this, Bert, is Hubert. Now, Hubert, I want you to take Bert a nice quiet walk down the road and show him the country. You'll go with Hubert, won't you, Bert?
Yes, bub,
said William. His voice was different too, thought Hubert.
Come back in a quarter of an hour, Miss Milton called after them as they set off down the road.
I say, Bert, said Hubert, you're awfully like a boy I know called William Brown. I mean, you are just at first. He's an awful boy. My mother won't let me play with him. I jolly well scored one off him today. I'm selling some piebald mice, shilling each, and he wants one, and I won't sell him one. And he's as mad as mad. I say, I've got a jolly good idea.
They were passing William's house, and Hubert stopped.
Let's play a trick on him. You go in and go round to the back and smash the window in the tool shed. I heard his father saying that the next time he broke that window, he wouldn't have any pocket money for a month. It's a jolly good trick, isn't it? Go on, go on. Do it quick, and then come out. I'll wait for you here. Go on.
William crept round the back of the house, watched by the sniggering Hubert. Then, out of sight, he entered the back door, slipped upstairs, changed into one of his ordinary suits, brushed his hair back, and came out of the front door with his usual sturdy tread, whistling, his hands in his pockets. Hubert, still crouching behind the hedge, did not see William until he was almost upon him.
Oh, hello, Hubert, said William. What are you doing here?
Hubert blinked, gasped, and looked wildly at the path down which he'd seen Bert disappear.
I say, William, there's a boy in your back garden. I was just taking him for a walk, and he ran away from me down into your back garden. I told him not to. I hope he's not doing any damage.
Oh, I'll go and have a look for him, offered William cheerfully, and set off down the path. He returned almost immediately. There's no one there. Who did you say it was?
He must be there. He's a country holiday boy called Bert. He'd gone to tea to Miss Milton's, and I was just taking him a nice quiet walk down the road when he suddenly ran in at your gate. I don't know why. I called out, come back, but he went on. I say, do you mind if I come round and look for him?
No. Come on and have a look. Hubert peered nervously into the tool shed and the summer house, followed by the grinning William.
He can't have gone anywhere else, can he? Said Hubert distractedly. I don't know what I'm going to do if I don't find him.
He might have fallen into the rain tub and got drowned, said William helpfully. Hubert's face turned pale green.
What am I going to do? I can't go back to Miss Milton's without him, and I can't just go home because she'll ring up my mother and there'll be an awful fuss. I say, William, you will help me, won't you? I've got an idea. This boy was a bit like you, just a bit. If you can sort of cross your eyes and hang your mouth open a bit and walk sort of doubled up, she might think it was him. I bet Miss Milton's jolly short-sighted. People like her always are.
But what about clothes? Said William. Hubert's face fell, then lit up again.
Well, you could put on your raincoat, and I could say it looked like rain, so we called at the farm for your raincoat, and she won't notice you've not got the same things underneath.
William considered, and then a light beamed suddenly in his eye, too. All right, I will, if you sell me one of your piebald mice. Hubert hesitated. He had widely advertised his refusal to sell the mouse to William, and he would lose considerable face if he did so. But the crisis was an urgent one.
Very well,
he said. Here's the shilling, said William. You can go and fetch it now, and then I'll go with you to old Miss Milton. A few minutes later, William was hiding his piebald mouse carefully in a wooden box with holes bored in for ventilation. Now, what do you say this boy looked like? He said in a businesslike tone as he came out doing up the buttons of his raincoat.
Well, he had a sort of squint, same as I told you.
William did a mild and tentative squint. What else?
His mouth sort of kept open all the time.
William opened his mouth to about the size of a halfpenny marble.
Well, yes. I mean, it's jolly good. It's not quite like him, of course, but I bet she won't notice.
Well, what do you want me to do? I've not got much time.
Well, just come back to her with me and say you've had a jolly nice walk with me and that sort of thing, and that it's time you went home now, and then go off down the road as if you were going to Eastbrook Farm, and then if they say that this Bert never got home, she can't say it's my fault.
They walked down the road. Hubert's face grew paler as they approached Miss Milton's. The front door was open, and Miss Milton was telephoning in the hall. She was evidently describing her guest to an acquaintance.
Oh, he's just come in now, she said. He looks better already. Yes, come straight round. You have a little boy of your own, haven't you? Could he come too? Oh, he's out. Well, yes, I quite understand. But you'll come, won't you? You must, of course, be prepared for something very different from your own child.
She turned from the telephone to greet them.
Well, dears?
William, with his modified squint, said that it was time he went home. Miss Milton, however, insisted on hearing a detailed account of their walk before he went.
I suppose it opened a new world to you, didn't it, my boy?
She said to William. Suddenly she looked out of the window.
Oh, here's a lady who's kindly coming to see you, Bert, she said. I'll just go and open the door.
They heard greetings in the hall, then the door was thrown open, and...
This is Bert,
said Miss Milton, pointing to him in a proprietary fashion. William squinted wildly and opened his mouth almost to the size of a football, but in vain.
William!
Said Mrs. Brown.
Snot William, protested Hubert vehemently. Honest, snot William. He's like William, but he's not William. It's Bert.
Of course it's William, said Mrs. Brown indignantly. Hubert persisted that it was not William, and Miss Milton supported him. Mrs. Brown said that a woman knew her own son after 11 years. William continued to squint and said nothing. Then the real Bert, hot and breathless and dirty and gloriously happy, arrived. He'd had a wonderful afternoon at Marley, but on the way home had run into Mrs. Camp, who, discovering that he was wearing another boy's suit, had sent him to retrieve his jersey. The altercation waxed fast and furious. Mrs. Brown said that she knew nothing about Bert. All she knew was that William was William. Everyone talked at once, except William. William waited patiently for the hubbub to subside. He'd have to give an account of himself soon enough. No need to precipitate matters. Meantime, He was fixing his thoughts on the one bright spot in the whole situation. And the one bright spot in the whole situation was the piebald mouse. Bert or no Bert, that at any rate was safely his.